hold on. At our church, we love God. Make no mistake about that. At our church, we believe in God's radical, unconditional, and unwavering love for us. At our church, we believe that Jesus is God. We also affirm that you may or may not believe that Jesus is God. And we're not asking you to change your belief system before you attend our church. We're simply inviting you on a journey toward Jesus. For years, churches have placed a high priority on Jesus as the get-out-of-hell-free card. At our church, we place the highest priority on Jesus as a live life to the fullest invitation. At our church, we believe every person has a dream deep inside their hearts, and that God put that dream there, not for our glory, but for His. At our church, we're not concerned with where you've been, but where you're going. At our church, we believe that the Bible is God's Word. It is real, it is living, it is active. We believe that people who don't go to church anywhere are not the enemy. They are real people who need the perfect love that only God can give. And we believe that God gives this love through, of all people, us. At our church, we do not and we will not display a holier-than-thou attitude toward anyone. We are all broken people, but He is putting us back together. And finally, and most importantly, at our church, we believe that Jesus really lived, that He really died on a cross, and that He really rose again on the third day. And we cannot and we will not candy coat or water down that message, ever. Today, you've chosen to sit yourself in the middle of a very safe place to hear a potentially dangerous message. Welcome to our church.
Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Yes.
I really am, because you know what? The fact that I can be in the house of the Lord this morning is a blessing in and of itself. How many of you agree?
Amen.
Come on, let's stand to our feet and enter a time of worship.
Yeah.
Jesus. Come on, just worship him. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you're drawing us close, Lord God. Draw us close to your presence, Jesus. Draw us close to your presence, Jesus. Closer and closer. Lay it all down again.
say, help me find.
Help me find the way.
Hallelujah. Who all desire to be in his presence, oh God? Who wants to know that he's near us, oh God? Father, who wants to know, oh Lord God, that if you didn't do another thing for us, oh Lord God, we thank you, oh God. We honor you today, oh Lord Jesus. We ask, oh Lord God, even in this season, oh God, you are the reason, oh Lord God. You are the main gift. You are the only gift, oh God. The gift of life that you gave us, oh God. The gift of salvation we thank you for, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh Lord. So, Father, today we thank you, oh God. We give all our honor and glory to you, oh God. It is you, oh Lord God, that we're here today. It is you, oh God, that we live, we move, we have our being, oh God. So, Father, we thank you today, oh God. We thank you for your presence. presence today, oh God. We thank you for your word, oh God. Father, we ask even now, oh Lord God, that our hearts be softened to hear what thus said the Lord, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord. So, Father, we come against any principalities, oh God, any darkness, anything that will hinder us from receiving from you today, oh God. We come against anything that's not like you, oh God. Stir up the gifts, oh Lord, that's within us, oh God, that we will go out, oh God, and proclaim the gospel, oh Lord God. So, Father, today we pray for our country. We pray for our nation, oh God. We pray for our cities, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord God. There is a bomb in Gilead, oh God. So, God, we will spare not and cry loud, oh God. We will say what the word of the Lord is saying, oh God. It is you, oh God, that we worship. We honor you, oh God, with our bodies, oh God. We honor you with our lives, oh God. We honor you with our mouths, oh God. Father, we're going to honor you with all our beings today, oh Lord God. And Father, we just thank you right now, oh God. Father, we pray even for the brothers of the service, oh God. We pray for our pastor, oh God, even in his absence, oh God. Father, continue to anoint him, renew him, oh God, refresh him, oh God, so he can lead us, oh God, that he can lead the sheep, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord God. Father, we pray for Pastor, oh God. We pray, oh God, that his vision will come to pass, oh God, and that we will see his vision in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray for Pastor Larry as he bring the word of God, oh Lord God. Father, we ask that you would just let him give the word unadulterated, oh God, in the truth, oh God. Speak through his lips, think through his mind, oh God, that we would know what the word of the Lord is, oh God. And we bless you right now. We honor you today, oh God. And if everybody's in agreement, oh God, we'll say hallelujah. Hallelujah, oh God. Hallelujah, Heavenly Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want us to get in the habit of things become ritualistic. When we enter the house of the Lord, it's so easy to become comfortable in what you know. And when you choose to become comfortable in what you know, you limit God in what he can do, in what he will do, but he can do it all. It's up to us to make room for him. Anyone who comes to your house, you know, they want to feel welcomed, right? They don't want to feel like you don't really want them, that you're not excited about them being there, or that, you know, you just, I'm glad you're in the house, but, you know, no kind of interaction. You're just sitting on the couch. Maybe you're watching TV or whatever. That's not fellowship. We want to have fellowship with the Father. So I don't want us to get in the habit of coming into the house and just sitting back and looking for what's going to happen. When you get up in the morning, every morning, not just Sunday morning, but when you get up, especially on a Sunday morning, there should be an anticipation. There should be an anticipation of what is going to take place, or what you even want to have. I had a couple of people over yesterday. Bear with me, y'all. I had a couple of people over yesterday because I just wanted to love on them. And so I got up and, you know, I was making breakfast and, you know, I was trying something new that I hadn't done before. Because I just thought it would be fun, it'd be cool, and I'm hoping they'd like it. So I put the dish in the oven, and I, you know, it's on and everything, pretty to put in the oven. I go, while it's going to take about 35, 45 minutes to cook, so I go get my shower and everything, and I come back, I get dressed, come back to check on it, and the oven had shut off. Now, I'm expecting the arrival at 9 o'clock. It's like 8:30, 8:35. And I'm like, what happened to the oven. How did it shut? It shut off. So something didn't go the way I anticipated. Do I just give up? Do I not feed the folks who I have invited into my space? Just turn the oven back on and say, Lord, I'm going through my little emotional things. And okay, so, well, we just gonna go old school eggs, bacon, toast, biscuit, you know, if this doesn't work out. And they start to arrive and I explain what had happened. You guys, please forgive me, you know, I don't know what's going on with my oven, da 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 da. You know what they said? We're just glad to be here. We're glad for the fellowship. We just want to hang with you. The Bible says a sacrifice. It wasn't that I desired. God is not looking for what you can give. He just wants to be with you. He wants to love on you. We try to impress him by what we can give or what we can do. And all he wants is to be in our presence, to fellowship with us, to love on us. So when we come into the house of the Lord, come with the mindset of, God, I just want to be with you. If the keyboard cuts off for whatever reason, it's just a hiccup, but he's still here. He's still here. So real quick, can we just worship him in our own way? I don't have to lead you to that. You can do that on your own. However good he's been good to you, express that to him just for a few moments. Just for a few moments. Sometimes we get a little uncomfortable in the silence. But you know you can hear him clearer when it's silent. Lord, whisper to your people this morning. Whisper to your people this morning. Let them feel your presence. Let their joy be found in you this morning. God, refresh those who are feeling weary. Refresh us, God. Refresh us. Refresh us. Refresh us. Now I want you to give God a hand praise. And as you do, thank him for what you are expecting him to do. Not just for what he's already done. You don't see it yet. You don't feel it yet. But he's yet God. And he's working everything after the counsel of his own will and ultimately for your good. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless your name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's take this time and do our affirmation prayer. Everyone together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart. Because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up because I can do all things through you who strengthens me. And I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree according to 3 John 2 that in every area of my life I am prospering and I am in good health even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, And with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Are you feeling a little more refreshed this morning? Aren't you thankful that he is our thirst quencher? We are just so honored to have you basking in his presence with us this morning here at the Presence in Owosso. Want to welcome everyone here and online that has joined with us this morning. And is there anyone here first time? It looks like all family and friends. Oh, other than my kids, as always. But welcome. We want to take a moment and let you find a few people around you. If you would do that, give someone a high five today, a big hug. Joining us online for your very first time ever. Thank you so much for joining the Presence. So thankful for everyone here this morning, our musicians this morning. And we're thankful for all of our children. Can we just give a hand to all of our children? Right. We want to take this time to let our children go back for their service. And while they are making their way out, I'm going to bring Lady S back up here in the absence of Pastor Alvin.
Hey, amen. Are you guys glad to be here again? I just love saying that. Again, we want to extend a warm welcome to our viewing audience, whether you're viewing via Facebook Live or live stream. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Presence. We're always glad that people are tuning in when they can't make it in person. Amen. Well, Pastor Alvin is ministering in Atlanta this morning. Thursday, I believe it was, he left. Or Friday morning, I can't remember, the days are kind of mixing together. Anyway, he's gone, he returned. So be praying for him. That was pretty sad. Anyway, be praying for him as he ministers this morning at a church actually that he's never been to before. They contacted him and wanted him to come. So praising God for open doors for him to go out and continue to minister. Amen. But I thank God for that we have qualified folk in the house that can carry the service. I want to say a big thank you again to Gabriel Bonner, who's here on the drums assisting us, to Little Gabe on the secondary, and of course to our own Eric Johnson. It's such faithful musicians that we have, and we appreciate your service here, Chris and Will and Jim Tierney. We love you all and we appreciate. Can we just give our band members? Sometimes they're overlooked. But let me tell you something, a band can make or break the singers. So we have to appreciate our band members. But I thank God that we have our own Pastor Larry Brown here with us this morning, and he's going to bring the word. Can we give him a hand as he comes?
You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. Good morning, church. You know, they said that in the Church of God in Christ, that one of the songs they come in with, I don't know what you come to do. We were in Michigan a few weeks ago, and they sung that song. I said, man, that's some powerful singing. I don't know what you come to do. So today I'm just glad to come to praise his name. The pastor in his absence, we praying for you as you do the will of God. Today I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Joshua. Joshua, the third chapter and the first verse. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, and it reads, early the next morning, Joshua and the Israelites left Achishah Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River. There they camped before crossing. Kind Jesus, it's Larry again. I come to feed the sheep. I come to encourage the people. God, dispatch your angels and your Holy Spirit to encamp around me and the Holy Spirit to be in me to encourage the saints today, that when we leave this place, we'll know that we have truly met with our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to share from a subject, another river to cross. Another river to cross. I was in a man's meeting a few weeks ago, and the pastor had asked us to share a testimony of how we had to use our faith in God over the years. So when I was sitting there and I was thinking about the people that was giving their testimony, I came up with this message. So this message has been stirring for a few weeks. So I know that the Kojiks, is that how they say it? They're used to long services. So I said, they're not going to have no problem today with me. Around 4 o'clock, we might be able to go home. But as I sat there and I listened to the different testimonies of the faith that the men had to use to get through their lives, I thought about my personal testimony, and I said, well, I think I'll tell them about this. I said, no, I don't think they'd believe that, how God has brought me through certain situations, that the things that happened just don't make sense how God fixed it for me. So I thought about something else, and I said, no, they're not going to believe that either. Thought about something else. And so I told Pastor, I said, Pastor, now, it's a wonderful thing as I remember all these things that I had to endure. I said, it's a wonderful thing to have faith in God, but I'd rather not have to use it. I'd rather things be so smooth that I wouldn't have to use the faith in God to get me through certain situations. But I realized that if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. So as I thought about all these things, and then I thought about the children of Israel, how they came, crossed the Red Sea, then they had to cross the Jordan. And it was like it's always another river to cross. Just when we use our faith to get from one thing to the next, it's another river to cross. It's something else that comes on. So today I'd like to, now I know in the church they had testimony service on Sunday morning, but in the tradition I grew up, we had it on Wednesdays. But so if y'all don't mind, I'm going to take a break from my message and just give a little testimony service. So when I thought about all the things that these men had to use their faith for, I thought about when I was young in the ministry and I decided to come home. Now, I knew that this area was a mission church area. There wasn't a lot of churches here, and the churches here were small. I could have went, stayed in California. I could have went to North Carolina where the churches were larger. But I decided to come home. So when I came home, I was riding with my brother. I was living with my parents at the time, and I didn't have a job. I knew if I was here, I would probably have to have a job. And I was riding with my brother. He was here on leave from the military. And he kind of chastised me. He said, yeah, you came here, you quit your job, and you came here now, what are you going to do? And I thought about Moses when he said, be still and watch my God work it out for me. I had no clue of what I was going to do. I was looking for a job. A guy asked me to cut some grass. I went and cut the grass. There was two houses there. And I cut the grass and went back to get paid. He said, you know, this old man here, he's a retired doctor. And he got this house over here. If I can talk this old man into letting you cut this grass to live in this house over here, would you do that? And I'm thinking, I'm living in my mama's bedroom. So from cutting grass to having a place to live for 3 years just for cutting the grass, who would believe that? And the other thing about the house was the doctor had just remodeled the house for his daughter. She never got to live in the house because she passed away. So this was a completely remodeled house that I was able to live in for 3 years with zero. Just all I had to do was cut the grass. The thing is, when you're going to do God's will and you want to be a servant of God, God provides. So, yes, I was assigned to a small church. They didn't have much money. 100 miles from Tulsa. So one morning I was getting up, getting dressed, going 100 miles from Tulsa. I had enough gas money to get there. And I didn't know if these people were going to have money to get me back. My elder called, and he lived about halfway to the church. He said, I want you to, you need to leave early because I need to talk to you. When the elder in the Methodist church calls and he needs to talk to you, normally you done something. I'm thinking, what did I do? So I stopped through Okmulgee. He came out and he said, you know, I know the church is small, but I know you got expenses, and I know you're working, but you might need to ask sometime for the people to give you more money. And in my mind, I said, I don't want people to think that I preach for money. So he was telling me I need to get the money out to people to make sure I can travel back and forth. He reached in his pocket and he gave me a $100 bill. I said, this is my blessing. I don't need to ask them for nothing. That was enough gas to get me back and forth for a few trips. But when you're doing the will of God, when you're doing the work of God, God will provide. I wore the same suit to church for 8 years. Every week, my shoes didn't wear out. I said, I'm like the children of Israel. They went around the wilderness for 40 years, and their shoes didn't wear out. My shoes and my clothes didn't wear out. God taught me that whether I have or I have not, that he's going to provide one more river to cross. So it doesn't matter to me now if I have a lot of clothes or if I don't have clothes. Sometimes y'all might see me wear the same clothes a couple of three times in a row. It's not because I don't have clothes. It's because I know that whether I have or whether or not, God will provide. God will provide. I thought about when I didn't have, and because I was obedient to God, things God began to provide. I decided that I would sponsor a mission trip to Indonesia every year. I didn't know what time of year it was going to be, but I knew the missionary was going to go there, and he was training pastors. And when I saw the huts that these people lived in, and they were dirt floor, I knew that I had to do something. These are people that couldn't pay me back. This is a seed that I couldn't sow, and it was going to come back to me. But we talk about that today, me and that pastor, how when I sponsored that trip, my sales increased. It didn't matter if it was in the winter or the summer or when. My sales increased. Now, when Ava met me, she couldn't understand how a vacuum cleaner salesman could live the way I did. And it was because I put God first. I didn't buy fancy stuff for myself. I was driving a minivan. Most people probably thought I was married with a bunch of kids. But I could put vacuums in the back of the van. But because I made a commitment to God to do what he said to those the least of these, you've done it to me. A lot of times we give our testimonies because God has given us great things. He's given us a fancy car. He's given us a nice house, and those things are good. But I understand that when God provides, he provides for his kingdom. So I never had a lot of extra money. I don't stockpile cash. I don't have a lot. But I know this, that whenever I need, God provides. So even at the next river, when it comes, I know God provides. I trust God in everything I do. When I was selling the vacuum cleaners, back to when my testimony of the mission trip. Now, I say the greatest faith preacher ever lived is one that sells vacuum cleaners door to door. I would knock on a door, and a person would say, "Hey, we were waiting on you." I would do all this demonstration, sell the vacuum, and then I, out of curiosity, say, you said that you were waiting on me." So they said, "Yeah, we had an appointment with a vacuum cleaner salesman today. He didn't show up, but I did. What are the chances?" Now, I'm working out in the sticks in the country. I would see, now, I'm not a prophet or apostle or sayseer or anything like that, but I would see a house in my mind, and I would drive out to the country, and I'm driving, and I would see that house, and I would pull in that driveway, and bam, they would buy the vacuum. So when it comes down to faith and believing in God for to be sustained, I know what that's about. And it's not about believing in God to sustain me so I can have a bunch of stuff. Now, I like stuff, but it's not about that. It's not about having stuff. Now, sometimes we think about how God leads us. God leads his dear children along, some through the water, some through the flood, some through great trials, but all through his blood. God does not lead us all the same. I'm through my testimony now. But God does not lead us all the same. Sometimes we as preachers can build a whole theology on if you want God to cross the Red Sea, you stretch forth your rod. But he does it different. When they crossed the Red Sea, Moses lifted the rod, stretched forth the rod, and the ground was clear, and they walked through. He didn't do it the same in Joshua. In Exodus, the enemy was behind them. In Joshua, the enemy was in front. So God leads his dear children along. You may have a different testimony or a different way that God has done something for you. So if I'm sharing something with you, I can't tell a person, "Oh, just go do this and God will do that for you." You have to have a relationship with God so God can teach you how to have the faith that he wants you to have. God didn't lead the children of Israel straight from Egypt to the Red Sea. They had to go around because the enemy was in front. God didn't think that they can handle that, coming out of slavery and going in and have to fight a battle. Even though the scripture said they were ready for battle, God knew they couldn't handle battle. Sometimes when we think that we need a blessing, or that we want something from God, and we don't get it right away, it may be because it's something, a hindrance to that. Now I'm going to tell this is not a big thing, but it's a thing to me. So just the other day, I told y'all this message has been going a long time, so bear with me. The other day I was going home, and I was going to stop by the Walmart. And so I'm driving, and I have my music on, and I passed the Walmart, and I'm almost turning into the neighborhood, and I said, I forgot to stop by Walmart and get those potatoes. So I turned around, and I went back to Walmart, and I go and I get my potatoes, and I'm in protest of the self-checkout. I won't do it. So when I come in, I see there's one person at the self-checkout, so I'm like, I'm going to grab these potatoes, and I'm going to get there at the pay checkout. I'm going to grab these potatoes, I'm going to get to that checkout so this person can check me out before nobody gets there. I grab those potatoes, I come around, and just as I came around, this guy came right in front of me. And I was like, man. So he saw that I just had this bag of potatoes. He said, oh, you can go in front. This was Veterans Day. I had my hat on. And he said, oh, you a veteran? I said, yeah, I served. And he said, oh, really? So they rang my potatoes up, and the guy said, your money ain't good here. Put this on my tab. That's a small thing. But had I went straight to the Walmart, I'd have been out of $2.48. So sometimes your delayed time is a blessing. And I got a big one at the end of my message for you on that. But Joshua, when they came to cross the river, they had to put their feet in the water. But the children of Israel, when they came first to the Red Sea, God parted the water and they walked through. But this time, they had to put the foot in the water. The first time, they were led by a cloud by day and a fire by night. But this time in Joshua, they were led by the Leviticus priest and the Ark of the Covenant. So sometimes you're not led the same way every time through trials, through the things in our lives. I was talking to Ava. I was saying, you know, I've been thinking about this, and we went to a church, and they were singing this song that was said, how am I going to pay the rent? I got a light bill due. Yeah, I can't sing. So, and all this, and there was a guest church there from South Tulsa, and so we were there, and I said, Ava, these people don't know nothing about this, that they got a light bill due. How are we going to pay the rent? All our money spent. But I said, you know what? There's something in their lives that they still have to deal with. Now, we all don't have to deal with the same issues in our lives, but some people have different things that they deal with in their lives that other people don't have to deal with. So God has to deal with some people different than he deals with the other people. Because it doesn't matter how much money you have, you still have issues in your life. So the priests had to put their foot in the water, and the water parted, and they crossed. God leads his dear children along, some through the water, some through the flood, some through great trials, but all through the blood. So no matter what issues you might have, God leads you along. Here at the Presence, we have another river to cross. The Presence started at a hotel. They crossed that river to the Owosso Center, they crossed that river. I'm sure they had some challenges as they began to cross. Then they crossed from there to this place. But each time God blessed a different way, and God blessed better. Now the next river to cross is the big river. The big river to get to the next facility. So when we're praying about this river that we're crossing, don't think about, will God lead us the same way he led us from the hotel? Totally different circumstance. Or how did God lead us from the Owosso Center to here? A whole different circumstance. Now we're in a whole different circumstance to move to the next facility. But God will lead us. God may not give us what we had in the past, but he has something in the future to give us if we're faithful to him. And sometimes we, in our own thoughts and our own doubt, we think about, like pastors say, we're going to leave all the furniture. We're going to leave everything. And we think, well, if we leave everything, then we got to start over. But God leads his dear children along. Like I said, when Moses led them across the Red Sea, they were led by a pillar and a fire by night. When they were going across the Jordan, they were led by the priest. We have to learn to be led by who's leading us and the way we're being led now to where we're going to go, because God leads his dear children along. And the next thing, that once they crossed the Jordan, he told the 12 priests, the Levites, to go back and to get 12 stones and to pile those stones up on the other side of the river. And he said, these stones are going to be piled up on the other side of the river. So when the children ask how we got here, they can look at the stones and say, this is how we crossed the Red Sea. And this is how we crossed the Jordan. So today I'm asking us as a church not to forget how God has brought us to where we are. Whether we had to wear the same suit for 8 years or drive the same car with tires that was extended or have 200,000 miles on a car in the 80s. Cars didn't go 200,000 miles in the 80s, but mine did because I had to drive 100 miles to the church. So pile those rocks up so you can be able to tell the children, the young people that's coming up behind us, where the stones were, that even though the times may seem rough, but if you trust in God, he'll bring you through. And the last thing, I got to close with this. I don't know if Dad Mixon, I heard him tell this more than once, so he ain't going to be mad at me for telling this. He was talking about how God blessed him with things that he never asked for. How he got a promotion on his job when he never asked for it. And the things that God gave him that he never asked for. Well, Dad Mixon, I stopped by today to tell you that me too, God has given me things that I never asked for. Sometimes we use that text that said that that if we serve God, that seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness, and these things will be added unto us. When we think about that scripture, a lot of times we take that scripture and say that if we seek God first, he's going to give us a great mansion or a fancy car. But that's not what that scripture is talking about. If you read the scriptures before, he was talking about don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or what you're going to wear. These are the basic things of life. So we expect God to give us the basic things of life. But when it comes to those extra things, Dad Mixon, we had decided that we were going to build our last house to live in. And we thought about it. We wanted a small house, about 1,500 to 1,600 square feet. And I kind of decided that. And we wanted to stay within a price range so our payments would be good, because I know I'm getting older and I'm about ready to retire. So we decided to build a house, and we started building this house, and COVID hit, and it took longer to build the house. And when we got down to the end, I've been self-employed for a long time, so they wanted to look through all my records and know all these things. Well, they started delaying on the mortgage. Like, we're not sure if we want to loan you the money or not, and back and forth. And so I told Ava, I said, you know, we're going to get a house. I don't know how, but we're going to get a house. So we were walking this neighborhood where we were building that house, and got down to the end, and we were closing on the house, and I was doing some things to kind of get things ready, and then there were some issues in the house that wasn't just right. Now, being in construction, I know you're going to have some issues, but some of these issues, I was like, so the builder said, you can't live with that? And that just made me mad. So we walk around the corner. It was a nice house that I always talked to the young man. I actually was kind of coveting in this house. And they put a for sale sign in the yard. And I said, my goodness, you leaving us already? He said, yeah, we're moving. So I talked to my real estate guy, and we ended up getting that house. Now, the house we were going to get, at the interest rate, the price of the house was a lot lower. This house was a lot more. But because of the interest rate and my credit score, I was able to get the bigger house with less payment than the smaller house. And Ava got me a separate office, which I was trying to be a cheapskate. I was going to use one of the bedrooms for my office, but my office is not as tidy as she wants it to be. So she wanted me to have some off, the doors closed. So she got the desires of her heart, the bigger house with an extra bathroom, with the payments the same or a little lower than what we would have had to pay. So because of our delayed gratification, the time that I went home instead of going right to Walmart to get my sack of potatoes, we got a bigger house with the same payment. So God knew Ava's desire and knew how hard-headed I was, but he gave her the desires of her heart. So God will give you the desires of your heart, but sometimes it's not the path that you think it is. The same with the new church. We don't know what path it is. But we know that we're expecting God to bless. Kind Jesus, we thank you today for stopping by and being with us, that we praise your name in music and we lift you up in praise, because we know you are a deliverer, and we know that because you live, we can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you bless us as we leave this place. The report will be when we go back home and say, oh, yes, we have met with our God today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come on, we can do better than that. Let's give Pastor Larry a hand. I always love hearing Pastor Larry speak, because you're going to get a good laugh and a great word. But we so appreciate you and the word that you have shared with us this morning. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready to give? God has really been a blessing to each and every one of us. So we want to be a blessing to him and to the kingdom. Amen. With what we have with our finances, they're going to put up on the screen ways you can give to the presence. Those of you who are viewing online, you can text to give, Cash App, Venmo, whatever you want to do. And I know that the kingdom of God will be blessed because of your giving. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you, Lord, that although we have jobs, maybe self-employed, you ultimately are our provider. And we thank you, Lord, that you meet every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Bless every giver, those who desire to give but may not have it. Bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Couple things for you this morning, and with the holidays falling on Sundays this year, these will be easy for you to remember and not miss. So first of all, we have our Presence Christmas concert coming up. That's we have those 2 days. It's Saturday and Sunday. So December 24th at 6 p.m. right here. We want you to invite everyone you know for this to come join us for our Christmas cantata. And then also Sunday morning, Christmas morning, at 10 a.m. And then the following Sunday will be our New Year service right here. And it's going to begin in our cafe with some treats. And then we'll come in here and we're going to have our New Year service. You guys have been so awesome doing the pause with us, everyone together. And now we get to bring in the New Year together. So we're going to have goodie bags for every child. There's going to be gift cards for the youth. And then we'll have some corporate communion, a special time of prayer for our children and our youth. And then they're going to have, we'll end up back with some more treats in the cafe all together. So don't forget our New Year service. And then just as a reminder, there's no services on Wednesday through December. God bless you.
Amen. One thing that we wanted to encourage everyone on the first Sunday in January on New Year's Day, we want you all to come in your Sunday best. I know we usually just kind of dress casual. I know a couple years back we did, the women had hats and the men had bow ties, but we're not asking to do all that. You can if you want, but wear your Sunday best on New Year's, and we're just going to have a great time together in the presence of the Lord. And there's some more exciting things that are going to happen that Sunday. So we encourage you to bring someone who maybe has been watching online. Encourage them to come into the house in the new year. And we're going to just start the new year off with a great, great time of worship and praise unto God and fellowship with each other. Amen? Were you ready to go home? I always tell Pastor Alvin, it doesn't take God long to speak. When you're attentive, so I really like when Pastor Larry, nothing against Pastor Alvin, I love it when he preaches. God moves, and yes, 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 but I appreciate you. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. With hands lifted, I give you the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1 and 11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised. Go and conquer your week.